Everything's inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who's the founder and charge of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya mano bistam stapitam yena bhutare svayam rupa karamayam dadati swaparantikam. Today we're going to talk about invoking the name of the Lord. We're called Hare Krishnas because we do a lot of invoking the name of the Lord. Krishna is a name for God that means all attractive. There are many names for God. Some of them refer to as beauty, some of them refer to as strength or fame or wealth. But at the end of the day, all that adds up to is that He's all attractive. And so Krishna is the most comprehensive nomenclature for God, and it's the most preferred name by saints and sages since thousands and thousands of years. Now, in our lives, I think you'll all agree that we have, at least metaphorically, mountains. Mountains have long represented problems to be solved, obstacles to be overcome, crosses to be carried, burdens to be borne, troubles to be triumphed over, difficulties to be dealt with. Death is a mountain. Sickness is a mountain. Family crises are mountains. Unpaid bills are mountains. Rebellious children are mountains. Unfaithful husbands and wives are mountains. Lying friends are mountains. Addicted loved ones are mountains. You might have prayed, you might have hoped, and you might have believed, but our suggestion today is that you take it to the next level. You speak to your mountains. It is said that faith will move mountains. Say to your mountain, be gone, be removed. Don't ask it, don't beg it, don't say pretty please. Command the mountain, command that fear, command that sickness to stop impeding your march and the march of your loved ones back to home, back to God. I've learned that if you don't talk to your mountains, then what's going to happen? Your mountains are going to talk to you. What are they going to say? You're never going to get well. You're never going to get over that addiction. You're never going to get out of debt. Your business is never going to succeed. God or Krishna has given men the authority and the power to speak directly to their mountains in His name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you address sickness in the name of the Lord, when you address debt in the name of the Lord, when you address addictions in the name of the Lord, you are the mouthpiece of God. God is absolute. That means He's non-different than any bona fide name of His, whether it be Allah or Adonai or Emmanuel. God is fully present within His name. So when you invoke God in sound vibration, you're invoking all the various shaktis or all the various energies of God. When you address your mountains in the name of the Lord, you're speaking on God's authority. You become the mouthpiece of God. And it's important, please note this, to speak to your mountain and not about your mountain. Don't encourage it. Don't magnify it. Don't acknowledge it. Don't give it a foothold. Don't give it power. Don't let it in the door. If you do any of these things, the mountain will become stronger and you'll become weaker. Don't believe the never lies. The never word is a mountain word. I'll never get over this addiction. I had it since high school. I'll never lose the weight. I've struggled for years. I'll never accomplish my dreams. There are too many obstacles. The problem is that the mountain is going to respond to your voice. So what do you see it happening during all those preceding statements? You see the mountain getting bigger. So don't focus on the size of your mountain. Focus on the size of your God. The bigger your mountains are, the smaller your God is. The bigger you make your God, the smaller the mountains are. It's one of many reasons we chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the book 450 Stories for Life, Gust Anderson tells about visiting a church in a farming community in eastern Canada where there had been 8 years of drought. The farmers were deep in debt. Their economic situation looked hopeless. In spite of their poverty, however, many of them continued to meet together to worship and praise God. Anderson was especially impressed by the testimony of one of these farmers, dressed in overalls and an old coat. the best clothes that he had, this man stood up and he quoted the Hebrew Bible. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The secret joy is talking to your mountain, telling it that no matter how big it is, no matter how long it lasts, you will not be dissuaded from rejoicing in the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some of you might remember the days of segregation in this country and what an enormous mountain that was. Dr. King and the other civil rights workers did not think, hope, or believe that that mountain would go out of existence on its own. What happened was they spoke the mountain out of existence. They marched the mountain out of existence. They protested the mountain out of existence. It was their faith in God, not faith in themselves, that proved triumphant. In his last address before his death, Martin Luther King outlines this point, this triumphant statement of faith. Quote, this is the day before he was shot. He says, "I've seen the promised land, and I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality. With this faith, I will go out and carve a tunnel of hope from a mountain of despair. With this faith, we will be able to achieve a new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands, we should say Democrats and Republicans, will be able to join hands and sing with the Negroes in the spiritual of old, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. A lot of people try to move their mountains by praying to God. They ask Krishna to move their mountains for them. And in doing so, they describe the mountain in great detail. They inform Krishna of the exact dimensions of the mountain. They cry and moan about what a hindrance the mountain is in their lives. Many devotees even pray to Krishna for him to speak to their mountains on their behalf. But Krishna is not going to do for you what he wants you to do for yourself. Krishna has invested himself in us through the power of speech. Think about that. None of the other creatures on this planet have the power of speech except for man. God's power is shown through the speech of men. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you start invoking God's name towards your mountain, it may not remove it overnight, but the moment that you start speaking as God's mouthpiece to your mountains, Krishna releases at that moment favor. He moves the wrong people out of the way. He sends healing in your direction, breakthroughs, victory. So if you keep speaking, then one day that mountain will be removed. There is no better sword, there is no better gun, there is no better weapon than the holy names of the Lord. When you're invoking God's names, he will fight your battles on your behalf. When you're invoking God's names, all the powers of heaven come to attention. Now, enemies come at us with a natural force, but Krishna protects us with a supernatural force. Here's a story about a small church in the Smokies. It was a congregation. They'd built a sanctuary on a piece of land willed to them by a church member. 10 days before the new church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor that the parking lot was inadequate for the size of the building. Until the church doubled the size of the parking lot, they would not be able to use the new sanctuary. Unfortunately, the church, with its undersized lot, had used every inch of the flat land except for the mountain against which it had been built. So in order to provide more parking spaces, they literally would have to move the mountain out of the backyard. Undaunted, the pastor announced the next Sunday morning that he would meet that evening with all members who had mountain moving faith. They would hold a prayer session asking God to remove the mountain from the backyard and to somehow provide enough money to have it paved and painted before the scheduled dedication opening ceremony the next week. At the appointed time, 24 of the congregation's 300 members showed up for prayer. They prayed for nearly 3 hours. At 10 o'clock, the pastor said the final amen will open next Sunday as scheduled. God has never let us down before, and I believe that he will be faithful this time as well. The next morning, as he was working in his study, there came a loud boom, 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 boom knock at the door. When he called, "Come in," a rough-looking construction foreman appeared, wearing the hard hat with the orange vest. He said, "Excuse me, Reverend. I'm from Acme Construction Company over in the next county. We're building a huge shopping mall. We need some fill dirt. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain out back behind the church? We'll pay you for the dirt that we remove, and we'll pave all the exposed area free of charge if we can have it right away. We can't do anything else on the mall until we get the dirt and allow it to settle properly." What happened? Literally, faith moved the mountain. The little church was dedicated the next Sunday as originally planned, and there were far more congregants now with mountain-moving faith than there had been the previous week. Alluding now to a story from our own Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a pious devotee of Krishna. He was habituated to chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, invoking it towards his challenges, towards his enemies, towards his mountains. At one point, he was single-handedly in combat with an entire army of yakshas. And yakshas were black musicians. And at this point, they had invoked all kinds of black magic and literally covered Dhruva Maharaj under a mountain of apparitions and illusions. So here it is described. Dhruva was compared to the sun and the great assembly of yakshas to the foggy mist. It's noted that fog ultimately is insignificant in comparison with the sun. It says that due to the yakshas' black magic, a mountain fell from the sky onto where Dhruva Maharaj was sitting on his chariot. From all sides rained hailstones, lances, clubs, swords, and enormous chunks of stone. Dhruva also saw mad elephants, lions, and tigers, along with many large, angry-eyed serpents vomiting fire, all coming to devour him. It looks like that's the end of Dhruva, doesn't it? That's all she wrote. Finally, as if the end of the universe were at hand, a fierce ocean with foaming waves and great roaring sounds came rushing towards him. Dhruva took up a special arrow that had been delivered to him by Lord Krishna himself. He joined the arrow to his bow, empowered the arrow with the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He released it, and as soon as it touched that mountain of illusion, the mountain just disappeared, like fog disappears in the morning sun. When you chant to your problems, to your mountains, to your critics, to your enemies, you're speaking light into darkness. Don't speak to God about how high your mountain is. Speak to your mountain about how high your God is. Even if what you have to say impresses no one, it impresses God. And he listens intently. He listens carefully. Your words as his precious children are honored as precious jewels. It is said here, purified and empowered, the words of the devotee rise in a delightful fragrance to our Lord. The power of the words does not depend on we who make the prayer, but the power depends upon he who hears the prayer. Heard about a little child. There was a rock in a sandbox, and the sandbox had kind of a lip of wood. So he wanted to eject the rock from his sandbox. He got down and he rolled it over to the edge of the lip, and he had to lift it up about 6 or 8 inches to eject it. But every time he got up 2 or 3 or 4 inches, he'd fall back down again and again and again. Finally, he just became totally exhausted. He began to cry and cry and cry. And there was a shadow that came over the little boy. He looked up, and the shadow was cast by the boy's father. And gently and firmly, the father said to the boy, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you had available?" The little boy sobbed back, "But Daddy, Daddy, I really did. I used all the strength that I had." "No, son, you didn't use all the strength that you had. You didn't ask me." Here is Krishna as Giridhari, the one who lifts a mountain 5,300 years ago when the Lord was on the planet. In only the 7th year of his manifest pastime, he lifted a huge mountain. Today, people go around that mountain in order to increase piety and to eliminate their karma. It's a 25-kilometer path around the mountain, which is about 15 miles. That mountain, Krishna lifted with the little finger of his left hand and held it aloof for 7 days. Now, how does anyone do that? I mean, the strongest man might lift a Volkswagen and hold it for 30 seconds. But how do you lift a mountain and hold it for 7 days and nights? And the answer is, you are the order giver. You are the creator of the universe. By your will, the law of gravity takes place. Think of all the planets which are floating like wisps of cotton in space. Just this planet alone, with its oceans and redwood forests and mountains, how many incalculable tons does it weigh? And how does it float in the air? How does that happen? If I even take some feathers, because they're denser than air, they'll immediately descending to the floor. So how does this planet and all the planets float almost weightlessly in air? That is the will of God. It is God who establishes gravity. It is God who sets the planet in motion, who causes them to travel at thousands of miles an hour without colliding in each other. So of course he can lift a mountain. He's already, by his ojasa potency, causing thousands of planets to float in space. So his lifting a mountain to protect his devotees is no really big deal. He can lift a mountain, he can lift the whole world, he can lift the whole universe. The point is that when we have a challenge, we need help. We need Krishna's assistance in all of the challenges of our lives. When we simply rely on ourselves, the outcomes are always predictable. But as soon as you add Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, into the equation, a world of possibilities explodes. Before creation, it is said, there was nothing. Krishna created a possibility. This entire universe came out of nothing. Faith can move mountains because it connects us to the maker of mountains, to the master of all mystic yogic powers. It is said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Om. Om is an ontologically, metaphysically significant syllable in the Vedic lexicon. In the beginning, when God wanted to create, he did it with sound. He simply uttered the Omkar, Om. From sound, the most subtle of the material elements, telescoping out, then came air, and then from air came fire, and then from fire came water, and then from water came earth, from subtle to gross, but beginning with sound. Everything, when you think about it, begins with sound. Sound is the power of creation. Sound is the power of destruction. Before we translated this building into concrete and marble and stucco and rebar, we had it on architectural plans. Before we had it on architectural plans, we created this building in sound. Vai Bobby and I talked about it, how many square feet it would be, how many stories, how many domes it would have. So this temple existed in sound prior to it having been manifested in the physical world. Similarly, before the sun, before the moon, before the stars, there was only sound. And by sound, God effortlessly creates millions and millions of worlds. Just take one tree for an example. Soon it'll be spring. We'll see millions and millions of trees bursting forth in blossoms and twigs and leaves.
Now, if we wanted on our own to create even one tree, it would take weeks gluing every little leaf on, putting a blossom in it. It would be maddening. But God just says, oh, and millions of worlds, millions of mountains, millions of oceans, millions of stars, millions of flowers, millions of crops, they all come about. So for him, sound is everything. Sound is sufficient. Here it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such Vedic sound comprehends all vital energies within the universe and beyond, and is thus undivided by time and space. Vedic sound vibration is so subtle, unfathomable, and deep that only the Lord himself and his empowered followers can understand its actual form and meaning. It is said, as soon as you invoke the ultimate Vedic sound, which is the holy names of the Lord, it cuts your karma. Just like the power to a fan. As soon as you take the plug out of the wall socket, the fan loses momentum, it loses power, and it begins to come to a full stop. So as soon as you invoke the Lord, put him into the equation, all of your karma, all of your liabilities from past actions, not only in this life, but in a previous life, they're cut off. Doesn't mean your karma is going to stop instantly, but the juice is no longer there. The source of continual suffering, continual misery, continual rebirth in this material world, that has been disconnected. You've sown the seeds of your future liberation. It is said here, as sound is the cause of this material world, it is also its destruction. As material sound vibrations develop our intimate relationship with this world of nescience, the transcendental sound vibration revives our full knowledge of the infinite spiritual space. Therefore, the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, although presented in the ordinary alphabet, should not be taken as mundane or material. It is said that when the mind is completely washed of all material contamination, pure consciousness acts. Here again in the Bhagavatam, says the pure devotees of the Lord can reveal the spiritual world by their transcendental sound vibration, making it possible even for a neophyte devotee to experience the Lord's abode. One of the most amazing things about having met Prabhupada, our spiritual master, the founder of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, he came to America in 1965. He passed away in 77. But when you met him, he talked about the spiritual world as comfortably as we would talk about going to the grocery store. He made it real. He had experienced it, and he brought it as a reality to us. And that was the benefit of associating with a pure devotee and listening to the words dripping like honey from his mouth. We souls in the material world have become so involved with our erroneous ways that it is as if our hearts have been buried in a mountain of material desires and attachment. The lotus feet of the Lord, however, are like brilliant thunderbolts that can shatter these mountains and illuminate our true consciousness. Now, here's something to note. Faith, like we're talking about, even if for argument's sake, it doesn't change the outer circumstances of your life, it will always change the inner landscape. If the inner landscape has been changed, bottom line is, it really doesn't matter what's on the outer horizon. One of our devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, he said, does it really matter if you're on a thorny, rocky mountain, if you've got good shoes on? You don't really care how tough the mountain is. As long as you got a good pair of hiking boots, you get immunity. When you face difficulty, the key to quit complaining and start speaking light into the darkness. Invoke the names of the Lord to your mountain. Krishna knows how to get you to where you need to be. Faith is what moves the Lord. When you speak favor, that's what activates the Lord. So our question today to you is there a mountain in your life that's keeping you from your best? Our challenge is to start speaking. Maybe you've prayed, maybe you've hoped, maybe you've believed, but now it's time to take it to the next level. Your mountain will respond to your voice. There's nothing more powerful than you declaring victory over your life. Some of you have talked about the mountain long enough. Now you need to start talking to the mountain. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you rise up and say to the sickness and say to the strife, if you rise up and say to the depression, be gone, be removed, Krishna will turn your mountains into molehills. He will remove obstacles that looked immovable. He will enable you to accomplish dreams that seemed impossible in this life and next life. Take you back home, back to Godhead.